Disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. I'm Zach Birchie. My guests this week are the two of the hosts of the very popular and successful One Piece podcast. I'm going to have fun not popping my peas this time. It's going to be fun. with me is Zach Logan. I believe you started the podcast.
Yeah, we started it together, but thanks for having me on.
And his co-host, Ed Lang. Hey, Ed.
Hi there. How's it going?
It's going. So, yeah, things are a little weird at ANN right now, but we'll be okay. I wish I had more updates, but I really don't on that whole situation. If anyone out there is following it, we are down, but not out. We'll be back. So anyway, let's talk about you guys. So how did you decide to start this podcast? How long ago was it? And what was your motivation?
Well, I guess basically it started with me getting into One Piece in the first place, which Zach and I were roommates in our freshman year of college. And he sort of got me back into anime by watching Adult Swim. I'd been out for a few years after being into DBZ when I was in junior high and
back stuff. When it was good, Adult Swim, by the way. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, by the end of that year, I was just working some stupid job back in my hometown, not doing much. So I started watching a whole bunch of anime. And One Piece had this sort of high internet reputation, but seemed to have been completely brutalized on Cartoon Network. So I wanted to give it a shot, and I sort of fell in love with the series. And it took me about a year to convince Zach to watch it, but I eventually did. It
takes me a year to convince me to do anything usually, but the podcast itself, I had been listening to a lot of podcasts, and I'm always a fan of the medium, especially the Lost podcast with Jay and Jack. And I now regret my Lost fandom. That's a whole other story,
Zach. we all kind of regret it.
we don't have to get into that. But in general, we did it because we were very big fans of the series. It had endless opportunity to talk about it for the rest of our lives, if we so chose. And there was no one else doing anything like it at the time. And in fact, I mean, you guys were – Anime News Network's podcast was like the first real anime podcast – one of the first anime podcasts like I listened to consistently. So we decided to take advantage of that. That was in – we decided to do it in like January 2009, but it took us like 5 months, and then we started.
I mean, it was basically we wanted to have the conversation with the fans that we wanted to have. We wanted to talk about the things that were interesting to us about the series, and just sort of looking for people to do that with.
Yeah.
So I gotta ask, like, I struggle with this show to stick to one topic or just only have one thing to talk about. It's kind of baffling to me that you guys are up to like almost 200 episodes, right?
Yep.
Well, there was a point where we were doing two episodes a week.
I don't know why. I am so glad we're not doing that anymore.
Well, I don't know. People weren't working as hard on other things back then, I guess.
Yeah, we've settled into – well, Ed's about to settle into school, but yeah, things happen.
Is it a struggle? Because I know the show is good and all, but I cannot imagine that there's 180 hours worth of things to talk about One Piece. I guess there is, but – is it a struggle? Do you guys have a tough time? I mean, they're not short shows either. Usually, it looks like your average is like about an hour 15, hour and a half.
Yeah, no. Seriously, we talk way too much about One Piece, but
it's the conversation we would be having with or without the show with people online. It's just sort of condensing it into an entertaining format.
Okay.
And beyond that, it's been very cool. I have now met every single person on our podcast except for Greg over in Japan, which one day. But it's been great. It's like an actual conversation versus when you're online and you're typing things and you don't really have that human interaction to it. But how we talk so long about it, we have the simulcast now, which is the main reason we started the podcast when we did, was because the simulcast kind of blew up in Funimation's face. We started it the day after that happened.
Oh, okay.
We'd been kicking around the idea for 6 or 7 months, like since before we graduated from college, but it was just sort of the urgency of like, okay, this is what we wanted, and this is why it isn't working. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That was a tough time. I mean, things are better now, but Mm-hmm. That was a rough period. So what? Okay, so when you started the podcast, I'm curious about this. When did you build? When did you actually start building an audience? When did you first start getting feedback? And what was your barometer of success? Did you care about having an audience?
Yes. No, we did care about having an audience.
Some people don't. Some people do podcasts. They don't care.
Yeah. That shows usually because they sound really terrible. Like, I have become a really anal person when it comes to audio, which I kind of regret because I kind of could sound like an asshole to people. But no, it's – I think we got our first feedback with someone who is now on the podcast. We used to just let anyone on too. That was an issue. But we got our first feedback with the first episode. Somehow people found us right away, and I still to this day have no idea how they did that. But I think things didn't start really picking up until Strong World came out, the 10th One Piece movie, mm-hmm. which was made by the creator of the series.
It was a phenomenon over in Japan, but there was surprisingly little information about it in the States. And fortunately, we had our friend and correspondent Greg over in Japan, just, you know, feeding information back to us, and we were able to talk about that for a week.
We needed some legitimacy, basically.
Right. Okay. So your first feedback was basically a couple people, and then that eventually turned into more than a trickle, and now you have a legit audience. One of the few, I think, anime podcasts that can claim, like, look, you can see we have an audience. Do you think that's attributed to the fact that the show is so popular online? What do you attribute that to?
Well, when I made the podcast, in order to try and make something that got an audience, because that was definitely one of the big goals we had.
Right.
Because I don't see the point personally talking to a vacuum. Other people do, but I did it because there was nothing like it. And usually when I did something that did well, it was because no one else had done something like it. So either it's because there are plenty of legitimately good anime podcasts. You got like Anime World Order, yourselves, plenty of others, that it's really hard. Even with, like, I would think personally consistency would get you some sort of audience no matter what. But it's not always the case, as you just said.
Yeah, that's not necessarily the case. It's tough. It's tough to stand out, and you're exactly right. I think that's a very smart way to do things, because a lot of people, they start in on podcasting, and they don't think, what am I going to give people that isn't already out there? That's a big criticism I have of a lot of people who start this kind of stuff. It's like, hey, are you just... It's like, hey, we're going to talk about stuff we've seen, and it's like, there's a million shows out there exactly like this.
It's kind of backwards thinking, really, in that you need to think about what you like to talk about, what's interesting to you, and that you can have an interesting conversation about mm-hmm. that you don't see out there. And you think, maybe if I want this, maybe other people want this too.
Yeah.
That's sort of the way we thought about it.
But that's also not always the case.
It's also,
luckily.
Yeah. Yeah. A big part of it is, do you have an interesting voice? Is your voice something people will want to hear? And I don't mean just like, do you have good radio voice? Almost, you know, very
well,
few podcasters
I know I
do. But
I'm still confused why people are able to listen to
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah, me too. I can't stand it. I sound horrible. But yeah, like, but your voice in terms of what you're saying, your opinions, how you structure your thoughts, you know, whether or not you try to be engaging and entertaining and interesting, it's tough. It's not easy for everybody, but you guys really pull it off, obviously. And this sort of expanded into a crazy amount of shows. You know, looking at your bios, it's like, oh, I also run the Full Metal Alchemist podcast, and now you guys have started a Toriko podcast.
Yeah. Well, that I'm more producing, because I still have only seen the first episode, but we're having a lot of the people who worked for us, and that's more of a new venture. But I don't know, it's catching, I guess, because you know people already, it's able to catch on quicker.
Right, you can point your audience to what you know, your new endeavors. I would imagine, do you get people saying, hey, you guys should start a podcast about this show or that show? Because as far as I can tell, you're probably the only game in town when it comes to, like, this podcast is just about this one show.
Yeah.
At least you started out that way. Maybe there's others, but...
There are, but...
Daizenshuu EX was actually an early influence of ours.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were one of the first ones. I can't think of any others, though.
For anime-specific shows, no. But it also... It could only really work with a long-running or incredibly well-founded series.
Right.
And a series with an established fandom, I think.
And the only reason Toriko came to mind is that I think it has that potential down the road. I don't think it has that yet. So I'm not my expectations are higher for it down the road than they are immediately.
Well, they're definitely giving it a push.
Yeah, Funimation did. That was nice of them.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And with something like One Piece, which is basically endless.
Yes.
You know, you look at the number of episodes and it's just a little infinity loop.
Yes.
I can imagine like that you have to have something that's got that much meat on it to fuel an entire show that runs for 200 episodes itself, you know?
Yeah, I thought I was crazy starting to watch a 260-something episode show when I started watching it back in 2006.
And I thought I was crazy when I watched it when it was 300-something episode shows back in 2007.
I just couldn't shake it, I suppose.
Yeah, I do not. I watch the DVDs as they come out. I don't keep up with it online or anything.
That's fine.
But that said, so what do you guys have plans? I mean, you're doing Toriko, and you guys have expanded out a lot. You do convention panels. You had that amazing fundraiser earlier this year.
Yeah, that blew all expectations.
Yeah, I can't. Still to this day, other people are like, hey, we raised X amount of dollars for Japan. And I'm like, still not as good as the One Piece guys.
I apologize for being completely delusional during my segment with you. I don't even really remember what happened.
I'm not surprised. You guys are barely alive.
Like, I want to do that again, but I don't think we could ever beat ourselves as part of it. And I mean, at this point, to just raise awareness for it again, it was both fun and really the most fulfilling thing I've ever done ever.
Yeah, I was about to say that must have been very emotionally satisfying. Like,
yeah.
So you've branched out. What's coming down the road aside from Toriko? What ideas do you have fermenting for expansion?
The big idea that we've been fermenting, I guess I'll say it here for the first time, is we're trying to put together kind of like a Hulu for podcasting. In a way,
wow.
At one point down the line, these are really long term goals.
Yeah,
that
right.
Now people are going to steal from me, but no. But we hope to do a lot more. And at the same time, Ed and myself Ed's starting law school this year, and I started law school last year. So we're also incredibly busy all the time.
Yes.
If I had all the time in the world, and I actually got revenue from this, I'd be much more willing to do a lot more.
Well, that's okay. So let's talk about that for a minute. Monetizing, it's very difficult in the world of podcasts. It's really tough to make money off of this stuff.
Yes,
you know, the only way we do it is because ours is hosted on ANN, and when people click on the podcast, there's ads. That's how the show gets monetized. But you don't necessarily have that. Have you approached sponsors? Have sponsors approached you?
Sponsors have not approached us, and. Well, it's a little complicated also because I don't want to step on people's toes as we kind of cover a very copywritten series. And that's the best way I could put it. We don't want to monetize off of One Piece. We didn't create One Piece. We don't deserve any of the money for One Piece. We just talk about it. But it would be cool to at least balance things out as terms as costs. I mean, I enjoy this podcast enough that I don't mind going in the red for it. But sometimes it's painful. But monetizing podcasts in general is incredibly difficult. Like there's a couple sponsors that'll do it for anything, but they don't pay that much. And
mostly what we've gotten is individual donations from fans of ours to help us basically achieve, little projects and things like sending Greg to Jump Festa to report on that for us.
Oh yeah.
Which was great.
And, this microphone, I believe was helped, someone helped buy it for me.
That's cool. So you get the fan donations kind of subsidizes.
I also feel really bad asking for that, though. I don't like because it was amazing that we made the money we did for Anime Fans Give Back, but Anime Fans don't really have that much money.
You don't say.
So I don't like asking people who have, let's say, as much money as I do for money to pay for things that. They won't really get anything from except the podcast, I guess.
Well, I mean, you're talking about how we don't want to make any money off of One Piece. Well, you're not. You would be monetizing the show that you create. You talk about it, but you are creating something. It's not like you're asking people to pay for like Scanlations or something.
But I don't I think that's true, but I also think that the Japanese companies and maybe some of the American companies wouldn't get that at all.
I don't know. I think Funimation understands what's happening there, what would be happening there. I think so, anyway.
Okay.
But I totally see your point of view. It's better to just play it safe, maybe, and not attempt to make a little cash from the show that you slave over producing every week.
I'll attempt, but it's still a weird ground to tread.
What advice would you have for someone who gets the bug now and decides, I feel like starting a podcast, I'm gonna start an anime podcast? What would you say to that person?
Okay, this is the only way I got Ed to do this.
Well, who are you making the show for?
I mean, the first preliminary questions, yeah, like, what do you want to accomplish with this? Who are you making the show for? What audience is already out there, and what audience can you get? Because the second question is a big one we've been asking ourselves lately and I've been trying to address. But the really important thing, and it sounds stupid, but you need to have a time of the week when you will sit down at that microphone and make sure that you do that every week, because it was a pain in the ass to get Ed to do that.
Yeah. And even if it's a terrible time, like Saturday nights,
God.
You get used to it.
Yeah, we've been doing that lately, and I'm hoping to change that. But
there's a 12-hour time difference issue.
Yeah, that's
well,
the big thing.
If you don't enjoy doing it, there's no reason for you guys to anyone, really. I mean, I produce this show as part of my duties as my job. I have a distinct benefit and motivation for making this show. Yeah. I don't really need any other motivation other than the fact that I happen to really like doing it. But if you don't really like doing it, because I see a lot of podcasters out there, you know, they have a little show and they'll do it, and then eventually they start talking about it like it's work. And they don't want to do it, and editing it is a huge chore, and putting it together is a huge chore, and they don't have anything to talk about that week. I mean, once your hobby becomes this sort of awful chore, why would you still continue to do it? So you really have to be personally motivated, and you have to really love doing it. I think that's
unfortunately, there's new material every week to talk about, and talking about it with these guys, it just doesn't get old.
No, it's always fun. And you know, there's always been a week or two where it feels like that, but I still love putting together the podcast. And we do crazy immature things sometimes too, and those are fun to put together. We did like Christmas songs last year, which is weird and doesn't make any sense either, but that was a lot of fun to put together.
We write sketches and do funny voices.
Yeah,
you got to keep it light, you know.
Yeah.
Can't get too serious, especially with something like One Piece.
One Piece.
So let's talk about the show a little bit. Now, I'm a fan, not a super fan, and I believe at this point, if you literally have seen every single episode, you qualify as super fan, because that's a substantial chunk of your life. Like, you could put that on your tombstone, saw all the episodes, currently running episodes of One
Piece. It's not as hard as you think.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen every single episode. There are a few fillers I've skipped every time.
Yeah, I still have not seen G8, which is the last DVD Funimation released, I have to see that.
a couple whole arcs in like the first half of the series, just skipped over them.
Yeah.
And you can kind of do that and not really lose out on much, right?
You don't lose anything at all, really.
Nothing.
Wow, okay. I didn't realize it was that. So would you describe the show as being filler heavy? Because I know I don't hear a lot of complaints about the filler in One Piece.
Well, I'll get scientific about this.
Okay.
A lot of shonen series do filler arcs. Bleach, people have done like statistical surveys on this, basically.
Wow.
And over 50% of Bleach, for example, is filler episodes. Naruto, I believe, is around 40%, and One Piece is around 20%. So though there is a lot of filler for a series, what's something that shouldn't have any, sometimes the filler is very good. Like the one I haven't seen yet, which I've heard very good things about. Sometimes it's very bad, like when goats are involved, which I think is also out on DVD.
Yeah.
But it's at the I'd say before like episode 250 something, they used to have arcs, so you could just skip those. But recently, what Toei Animation has decided to do is really make episodes contain less canon material and throw things in there that aren't canon.
How do you mean? So
they extend sequences that weren't seen to include things that weren't there in the manga, just to pad it out a little bit.
So let's say a scene involved you walking across a street. The anime episode would have you walking across the street, and while walking across the street, you would meet a little girl who would tell you about this adventure. You'd go on that, then you'd come back, and you'd finish walking across the street at the end of the episode.
Oh, so they're sort of inserting filler into the middle of canon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
It depends. Sometimes it's good.
Makes it harder to skip stuff, I guess?
Sometimes it's good because the author, Eiichiro Oda, was rushing through things at some points, and so much is going on sometimes that he skips things, and then the anime could develop that and make that cooler. Oftentimes that's not the case, but I think recently, Ed, you could disagree if you want, I think recently they've been doing a pretty good job.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had this big war arc in the anime recently, and the one arc before that had some terribly long, drawn-out sequences.
Oh, God.
But yeah. ever since they started the war arc, it's been getting less and less so.
That's all available simulcasted, too. You can see those really terrible episodes where they made that mistake.
You can also see the really great episodes with the main character's flashback.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, okay. So, like, say, like, someone's brand new to the show. Would you tell them to start at the beginning? I mean, is there like a definitive guide? Like, if you just want to, you know, get to the important stuff and not get through any of the filler, has anyone written like a guide where it's like, look, do this, 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 and this, and you'll get the best experience out of this? You know, how many episodes is it up to now? 500 something?
509.
Yeah, God.
I think it's 510 this Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. What would you tell someone like just getting started?
Well, I mean, at this point, I suggest it's easier to start by reading the manga. Mm. The manga you can get through
really fast,
quite a bit quicker. And for some of it, it's the only part that's been released. So way to do it consistently.
There's a big gap that Funimation will hopefully one day be able to fill. That's a whole other discussion, though. But I would definitely start from the beginning. And One Piece is a show that is kind of hard to get through at the beginning at times. I'm probably one of the harsher critics of the earlier One Piece stuff. But I think it just really gets better and better. And, at one point it gets incredible. And it's also the fact that, everything builds on each other. So when you get to the end, you're like, wow, it's amazing. They brought something from there back here. And that's the other thing with the podcast, why we're able to talk about it for hours, because there are characters who came up, I think one of a major character came up in volume 2 or something, and he ends up being incredibly important, and he comes back in volume 51 or something like that. One panel. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he's building sort of a coherent world with a whole sort of structure to it that, I mean, a lot of other series don't really have.
Yeah, that's the one thing I've heard people say most about One Piece, is that it is kind of operating on a macro scale, rather than like something like a Rurouni Kenshin, where it's just these characters and their story arcs. This is a world that he's creating, basically.
There's both.
Pretty
I'd
ambitious.
Say there's also micro stuff, though.
No, I think so. But in terms of like just how much of One Piece there is, he kind of has to be operating on this gigantic scale. It can't really be just the story of Luffy or whatever. It's got to be the story of 15 different people or whatever. That is one thing I wanted to ask about, cuz I don't think I'm caught up on the DVDs. And I don't think they'll ever actually release the entire show. Has 500 episodes of anything ever been released on DVD?
Do you count the amount of repetition the Dragon Ball releases have had, cuz then they're like way over 1,000 at this point.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. But even that's half the length of where One Piece currently is, and there's no end in sight, I don't think, for One Piece.
I think we're a little bit past halfway through. I mean,
so
he said that like 10 times, but I think this time we actually are.
Well, if you're a little past halfway, that means what, 800 episodes, 900, something
at least,
like that?
I think it's going to hit around episode 1,000, because the anime, again, is going to expand on everything. So it's kind of like what the anime does, is it unabridges it further.
Wow.
So That's why the manga might actually be a better.
That's the thing about the anime, though. I could foresee myself in the future not watching the One Piece anime, but I never see myself not reading this.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's just easily – it's easily digestible, I think, in comic.
It's also – it actually looks a lot better in manga format frequently.
I love the anime. Don't get me wrong. I think the music is probably the big reason I love it.
There's also something very unique to the way Oda uses the manga medium, sort of the visual art that's really impressive.
Well, the really character designs are really well suited for animation. You know, when One Piece has really nice animation, the show looks fantastic. It's not, you know, those characters are so cartoony that it just works. And you can animate those characters beautifully. And you can have some episodes with shitty animation like any other show. Yeah. But, you know,
and for people who yell at you for saying it's cartoony, they're wrong. One Piece is a cartoony show. I like that about it.
I wasn't aware there were people that deny that, but they're...
There are definitely people who deny everything.
That's silly. Yeah. It's extremely cartoony. It's part of the reason I don't think it's a major success with American anime fans. And I'm sure
it
you've
should
had
be
this...
a major success with American fans, though, which is
it should be, but yeah. It's not because it doesn't really look like anime at all. I don't think that's what I would prescribe it. It's just the show just looks too weird. It doesn't look like Dragon Ball. I mean, the closest thing you could say is Dragon Ball, and even Dragon Ball looks more traditionally like anime than One Piece does.
The thing is, it looks a lot like Fairy Tail, and that's getting a lot of press right now. We'll see how that works out. But.
Yeah, it's because Fairy Tail's art is pretty much lifted wholesale from One Piece.
There are panels that that people found that literally copied some stuff that Oda had done from that. I mean, have you seen those, Ed?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm hopefully not making that up.
I watched one episode of Fairy Tale and said, this is the most generic thing I've ever seen. So I didn't watch any more of it.
That's what I did, too.
Yeah. But the other thing I kind of want to ask about is somebody who, you know, the most vivid memory I have, I know I got through Arlong. So that's how far back
that's
I
good.
Am.
That's good.
Yeah. How have, you know, assuming that you guys keep up with the manga, which I assume you are.
Yeah, that would be very bad for our podcast if we did.
So, how much have the characters changed? Have they changed at all? Has he been changing them as characters as it goes along?
A lot. Especially a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, without spoiling too much of it, are these good changes? Do you like the character progression? Is it competently done?
Oh, there's a maturity there to the characters, especially after a recent time skip that.
I thought you said you weren't going to spoil too much.
Well, no, it's okay. You can give vague ideas. I'm asking a question about something that happens hundreds of episodes from where I'm at, and that's okay. So, without spoiling too much, all I really want to know is, are these positive changes? Do you like the way it's going?
Oh, yeah, definitely. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I think each backstory does a really good job at fleshing out the characters, and somehow putting them into different situations fleshes them out more, because Oda has this Oda the creator again has this ability, because of this world he's built, to make an island for anything, and so you could put the crew in whatever situation he wants them to be in. But I think the new characters they've added are in some ways superior sometimes to the earlier ones. I think the later additions are some of my favorite.
That's interesting. Yeah. That was the one thing that kind of stuck out to me was, I really like the characters in One Piece, and so often in shonen shows, they don't really change very much.
It's remarkable. Yeah. One Piece is actually one of the few shows that has its main character consistently being its most popular character as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's usually not what happens.
You'd think it happens more, but it doesn't.
He's changed the least.
Definitely. I would figure.
Out of the characters, Luffy has changed the least, but he has changed, especially after the time skip.
That's interesting, because definitely one of the strongest characterizations and most likable characterizations for a shonen manga hero I think I've ever encountered, because Naruto's kind of obnoxious and
he's supposed to be, but
a lot of those characters just like, all right, well, aren't you a hero? And Luffy's a likable character, and that's not all that common for a main character in a shonen anime. The other thing I kind of wanted to ask about is it's been revealed lately that the average age of a One Piece reader is like 32 or something like that.
Something like that.
Something like that. And I have noticed, now there's officially licensed, kind of pervy merchandise for these characters, Nami and Robin. Yeah. When did that start? Is that creeping you out that it's official and it's not just like fan doujinshi or whatever?
Yes, for me. Yes.
Well, no, but we've had discussions on the show about this, body pillows and booby mouse pads.
Yeah.
But also, it's...
The booby mouse pads are at least kind of humorous. But
One Piece has sort of crossed a threshold with the Japanese public sort of like the last 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. where it's suddenly gotten really popular again after it had been in the doldrums for a while and became really popular and sort of on the level of a mini social phenomenon again, which sort of coincided with the release of the last movie.
Which was Strong World.
Yeah. It's basically from what I've been hearing from people who have been in Japan in the last 2 to 3 years is that it's everywhere. They can't get away from Chopper.
Yeah, we have some fans in Japan who've talked to me about how nuts it gets. And the weird thing is we have a ton of downloads in Japan, and I'm sure they don't understand a word we're saying, but they probably see the word One Piece and they download it.
Well, there's a lot of English-speaking fans that live there.
Yeah, sure. There's some, but I'm sure the large majority. I should give myself more credit, but yeah.
Confused Japanese people. So do you think that it's just a natural result that, of course, you're going to start getting body pillows when the show surges in popularity like that? It's just the way otaku culture is now? Because it's not an otaku show,
I
really.
I guess.
Yeah, but I'm not sure how long it's going to sustain this. It may drop down to a more less insane level of popularity before these things sort of cycle.
I personally hope it doesn't, but that is more likely than not. I personally am not a huge fan of that kind of making those kind of things official, because people who actually put work into fan art and stuff, or AMVs, or people who actually do things that aren't incredibly creepy and disgusting, don't get the credit or they get in trouble for it, and yet they have these things that that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's super weird because the show definitely started out as something aimed at, seemed like it was aimed at children, at least teenagers.
It
maybe.
Still is. And that's kind of the thing.
Yeah, but those kids are from 14 years ago now, and some of them have been reading the manga the entire time.
Right. Well, it's kind of like what happened with Harry Potter, although we never got like Hermione body pillows or anything. But the average age of a Harry Potter fan went from being 10 to 25. You know, over the course of the last 15 years. And so, that's why the later movies are all fairly dark and adult, for the most part, as adult as they really can be. But that's the aging of a fan base. And so I guess it's just sort of a natural result. And, you know, Japanese society tends to be okay with pervy merchandise. So
I think that's what it is. And the crazy thing is Harry Potter and One Piece are on par with each other in Japan. I think One Piece often sells way more than Harry Potter, which boggles my mind.
Well, you gotta understand, One Piece is $4 a volume.
And I think Strong World beat the opening weekend for Harry Potter. Then, like, I think
it was Harry Potter 7, Part 1.
That one. Yeah. No, was that that long ago?
I think it was Harry Potter 6. Harry Potter 6.
Huh.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, every time I see the numbers, it's insane to me that many people
read
that. It's like 2 million copies of the last volume in like 1 week or something like that. It's nuts.
Or the list that you guys put up last week with the creators' sales figures since 2010 began, and the One Piece had 5 times as many as number 2.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And before that, you guys put up one that said, I think it was the amount in the first half of 2011 or the last half of 2010, and you could add up like all of the other top 10 together, and it still was 1 million off from the amount that One Piece sold.
It's nice that something's doing so well, you know.
One thing.
Great that there's a gigantic success out there, and I just wish it hit harder here. I really wish it did. I mean, I'm sure you guys are sick to death of discussing the 4Kids version, but I'm not.
Zach, tell them about the thing we bought at Otakon.
Oh, we had the Anime Insider that we gave out that had the article from the head of 4Kids promising that it would be uncut in the future. But we do not talk about 4Kids as much as we can. We had one episode really early on in the podcast, and I don't recommend anyone download it because it was really early on in the podcast.
But also, neither of us were fans fans of the show when 4Kids was on TV, really. That's not how we consumed the show, so it didn't really affect our fandom that much.
A lot of us just find it funny.
Yeah, it is pretty hilarious.
We didn't have to live through it.
Yeah.
I remember I was working at Anime Insider when it debuted, and my editor and the guy who runs Topless Robot, Rob Bricken, a huge fan of One Piece, and we were just sort of sitting with bated breath, and the minute that rap song started, I literally was laughing so hard I fell off the couch. Because it was like a parody. It was like... Yeah. It was like somebody made it, and then they're like, okay, guys, now really, what are we going to use for the theme song? And they're like, no, seriously, this. And you can't believe that rational adults would make that decision.
It's both sad and hilarious. Yeah, it's one of those rare things.
And the terrible thing is they had a perfectly acceptable version of the original main theme just dubbed that they'd showed at what, Big Apple Anime Fest?
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and they just chose not to use it.
Yeah, well, that was a long time ago. But at the same time, everyone says, like, oh, One Piece totally would have been huge in America if that 4Kids version hasn't happened. And I don't think that that's the case. I think the way the show looks is just a liability in America. I think
it's how long it is now a liability, because every single person, whether they be anime fans or industry professionals that I'm trying to push One Piece on my free time, everyone is afraid to tackle something that's this long, which is understandable, but I still try.
Yeah, it's a daunting task. It looks like a lot of work to get through that much stuff. But anyway, so One Piece aside, what else have you guys been watching lately in terms of anime, or if you've seen any movies lately?
Well, I guess the most recent thing that I was watching was Giant Robo. Actually, I wanted to go back into my classics a little bit. A bunch of people had recommended Giant Robo to me at Anime Central this year, so I picked up the DVD of what, the 8-part OVA series, and that was really good. You recognize things in there that you've seen in later robot series, and it kind of all comes together where these things were inspired from.
Yeah, Giant Robo is definitely one to revisit, especially if you're into giant robot shows. It's a lot of stuff in there that definitely has been lifted for later creations. But you're right, it's good. I really enjoyed Giant Robo. I should revisit that. It's been years since I've seen that.
Yeah. And also, I just watched Fooly Cooly again for the second or third time since I got the DVD.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Last week, yeah.
Watched that a lot.
Never gets old. What about you, Zach?
The other reason why I run a One Piece podcast is because I don't watch enough other series. But I just got the final set for Brotherhood, which I was listening to you guys last week. You got to give it a chance. It does start out kind of ridiculous, but I know you probably heard this a million times, but it does get really good.
I think I have a chalkboard with hash marks on it. How many people have told me to watch Brotherhood? And it's just about full.
I was listening on the train back from Otakon, and I'm like, if you just gave it a chance, you'd be completely the opposite. Because I was actually, it's really good. That's the only way. But and I don't know. This is like my first week I've actually had time, and I've spent every day podcasting for something.
Okay.
So I haven't had time. I also never see enough movies, which Ed could attest to. Yeah. So I can't
actually
help you there.
Last week I saw Captain America. That was pretty good.
I heard good things about that.
Yeah, I enjoyed Captain America. It's no
Planet
of the Apes.
You're watching home movies all day.
Oh, yeah. And The Simpsons.
Yeah, there you go.
Good Simpsons. Old Simpsons.
Diehard American animation fans, too, here, you know.
Have I been watching anything lately? No, not at all. So I guess we'll just get that out. Well, no, not really. This last couple of weeks I've had to focus on interview questions for a lot of different things, and that takes up a lot of time. I guess I did have to watch Blood Sea because I'm interviewing some of the creative staff.
Yeah, I saw your comments about that.
I don't dislike it, but why would they? It's only 12 episodes, and they spend the first 5 doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. I do not understand that. That makes no sense to me. Perhaps my questions for the director will enlighten me on why they decided to go that way.
It's the part of your job that I do not envy at all, just not being able to turn off things I don't like.
Yeah, well, that's why I have a review staff.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I need to be pushed to watch series, so that seems like a good part of your job, because I don't even remember the last simulcast I've just watched independently. I'm way behind on Tiger and Bunny, I know that. But I loved it as I was watching it. I'm like on episode 4. I think they're up to 19.
Yeah,
that's when you start to realize these things as you get more into anime following the current releases, is that there's really only 1.5 good shows every season, really?
About. I find usually I would say there's usually about 4 decent shows. Of those, I will be motivated enough to keep up with maybe one of them. Yeah. Just because
a couple of those are in genres that I don't watch.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. There's a lot to consume. There's so much to consume. You have to be choosy. Unless you're one of these people that just consumes everything and all they do is watch anime. Which, hey, more power to you.
I wish I had that much time.
Yeah. So before we get
I know a couple of those people. They're still in college.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. They're still in college and lots of time to kill. So before we get to Twitter questions, I wanted to ask you guys about Otakon, because I was not there. And I'm curious how it went this year. Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah, I actually really, really loved it. Last year we had a panel and filled up the room. We didn't get one this year because we had one last year. But it was a ton of fun, and it was the first time people came up to me knowing who I was, which was
that's cool.
Probably the most awesome.
Yeah, we signed a couple autographs. That was weird.
That's weird. Yeah, I get so weirded out by that. Like, yeah, why do you want my autograph? I'm just some internet guy. Well, that's
still
cool.
Kind of.
So yeah. You know, it's feels great. It just feels weird. So you said you didn't get a panel this year because you had one last year. Is that the rule?
I don't know, but that was the reason we got. I have no idea, but we had two at AX. We weren't able to go there this year, and I loved AX last year, and I heard that was a really down year, so I probably would have really liked it this year, maybe. I don't know. But I don't know. I don't know what the inner reasoning is. I'm not going to judge them because their staff was really on the ball this year.
Oh, I'm sure. I just thought that was a weird rule. If I never heard
it. I know.
I don't know if it's a rule or not, but because we didn't have a panel, we ended up doing a luncheon with like 50 fans at Pizzeria Uno's, and it went really well.
Wow. Yeah, that was fun.
Filled up the Uno's. That's cool. So what was the crowd like? How would you characterize the crowd?
You know, I agree with the East Coast, West Coast thing. I'm from the East Coast. I'm recording in New York City right now.
Yeah.
But East Coast fans are sometimes overwhelming. Our fans are good. In all honesty, not even to Brown News. But
they were better this year than they were last year, I think.
Yeah.
I think there was also everyone had a slight case of sunstroke.
Oh, yeah. It was hot, right?
Oh, my God. That was awful, that heat. And I have the same thing as you with Baltimore, Zach, where I always think it's The Wire. And actually, my bus went through pretty much a tour of the set of The Wire getting there. So that was unnerving.
Fun.
Yeah.
But Baltimore is fine if you don't leave the Inner Harbor.
Yeah. That's my – I mean, Baltimore people are probably going to disagree with that. But it was – the crowd in general was pretty good. It was packed. It was noticeably – I think there was like a 4,000-person jump. That was noticeable. And the line for the FMA movie was insane.
Wow.
Yeah. It was completely ridiculous. I don't know if you were there for the Trigun premiere at AX last year, Zach?
Mm-mm, no, it was – the Trigun premiere happened during our podcast.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Well, but the line for that was on par with what we saw for the FMA Brotherhood movie premiere.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you figure that's going to be – gigantic. Oh, yeah. But no, I heard the crowding was do you think they've outgrown that venue or what do you think? Should they move? Do you think it would be good for them to move?
It's a really hard to get around venue, which is a problem with a lot of convention centers.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem – various parts of it don't seem particularly crowded at any given time. It's just that bridge that everyone has to cross over, the indoor bridge above the streets. But parts of it
– they have bottlenecking, old traffic term. Would be that's what they have.
Yeah, and I heard there was a big cosplay photo problem this year, like a lot of people stopping right in the middle of a big crowded hallway to take cosplay photos. Mm-hmm. Like I heard that was a bigger problem this year than it was in the past.
We do so many cons, I don't even notice that anymore. But yeah, that's always a big problem.
How can you not notice that? It drives me nuts.
What?
How can you not notice that? It's horrible. I go to a lot of conventions.
The places that were it was happening were so packed that you didn't really realize the cause of the problem.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think the worst con story still at Anime Central, some random kid came up to me and T-virused me in the arm. I was half asleep at the time.
What is that?
And
what is T-virusing? I know it's Resident Evil.
What is that from? I don't even know.
It's from Resident Evil. He had like a big cardboard syringe. I wasn't there.
Yeah, it was a big cardboard syringe, and he syringed me with a cardboard syringe in the arm. And this was like after my early morning flight we were going to check in. And then our other friend, the other host of the podcast, Steve, prompted to kind of give him a light punch in the stomach. And that was still one of the craziest stories.
Yeah. But like, funny because he's like 6'5".
Yeah, but not really a punch, but he kind of walked into the fist. Like he walked by and he just had his fist out there. And I guess that would be. But we don't recommend people do that. And we don't recommend people syringe me.
No touching.
Yeah, I'm good with the no touching.
Yeah, I've gotten less and less patient with people doing dumb shit to the point, you know, I'm pretty laid back guy. I try not to let things get to me too much, but we were at AX this year and this kid in a Ryu costume would go around and just walk up to people and get right in their face and shout Hadouken, and just do it really fast and then walk away. And he did it to a friend of mine who was standing there he walks up to my friend, he does it right in her face, and I just shouted at him, "Hey, asshole!" Like, I'd never really like confronted anyone like that for being a dick before, but he heard me.
I applaud you. That is well put.
Oh,
well
what
done.
A dick! Who acts like that? Grow the fuck up. That's my.
There's always someone like. I, for the most part, I think anime conventions have nice people. Like, there was a Washington Post article that made, I don't know if you saw that, about Otakon that I noticed it because there was a picture of Frankie from One Piece, a cosplayer that was actually talking with us a lot on the front page of that. But it was all about how they're pretty much all child molesters at anime conventions.
Oh, that horrible article.
Yeah. Which is really disappointing. Most people are actually pretty normal or just very nerdy and need a place to get out. But then there are definitely that group of people who are just...
But then there are the people who start playing Marco Polo in the middle of a very large line and clearly no one can go anywhere. I have to yell at you at that point.
At Otakon last year, there were a bunch of people playing Duck Duck Goose in the middle of a crowded hallway, like taking up a very large portion of a very big hallway playing Duck Duck Goose.
Stuff like that.
It's just that's the stuff that you notice because it's so awful. But yeah, by and large, con attendees are fine, you know. I'm continuously, but every year, you know, I go to San Diego Comic-Con every year, and the crowd there is exceptionally well behaved because everybody paid an arm and a fucking leg and they're lucky to be in there. So nobody really wants to ruin anyone else's good time at that show. And
is it okay if I ask how much those tickets are? I've never even looked because I know I have to schedule like 4 years in advance.
Well, I'm pressed, so I don't pay to get in, which is great. And if I did have to pay for Comic-Con, I'm not sure I would go next year because they just raised the price for a 4-day badge to $175.
Wow. See, that's the answer I was looking for.
Kind of prices that make you want to stab someone with a mechanical pencil.
I mean, yeah, press passes are amazing. And I know you said something, I think you with your interview with the head of Otakon, about how easy it is to get a press pass. And I have seen stories that prove that as well.
How old were you, Zach?
Oh, well, I'm not even going to – I shouldn't talk about that. But, oh, no, the convention doesn't even exist anymore. But I was – I think I got my first press pass when I was 14.
It depends entirely on the convention. Anime Boston is notoriously difficult to get press passes.
Otakon.
People complain every year. Otakon, I hear, is pretty tough. But, yeah, it depends entirely on the show. I know it's pretty easy to get a press pass for AX. And Comic-Con's actually fairly permissive.
Both Comic-Cons, I think.
Yeah, right. It's New York as well. My thing is, if you're going to get a press badge, you got to work for it. Because they're inviting you to their show for free. But I know a lot of people that take advantage of it, and I think that's pretty crappy.
No, I feel a responsibility when I go to a convention to talk about the convention. I mean,
right.
But then stuff falls into your lap, like being able to have an interview with the director of the FMA Brotherhood movie, like we did at Otakon.
Yeah. Right.
When we were planning on going to Otakon without having really anything to cover, but that sort of fell into our laps because we were going. We had press.
Well, and it's legit because you have a Full Metal Alchemist podcast.
So exactly.
There you go. It's not just like, oh yeah, I'm totally gonna work. And you just take the free
let's
badge.
Just talk to him.
Yeah. I know people that have done that. They just waste the guy's time. They go in and have a conversation. It's like, oh, I interviewed him. I'm not gonna transcribe it. I'm not gonna do anything with this. But
that's the good thing. We don't have to transcribe it. I just have to edit through it, which is actually fun. We had an interview with the Japanese voice of Eneru and Hachi. For those who follow One Piece. And I got to dub Ed's voice over it at points, like a kind of like a normal television interview, like have him go at the beginning and then have Ed's voice come in at the end.
It's almost a little like Iron Chef.
Yes, that's more what it's like.
Should have gotten Vic Mignogna to sit in the room with you.
Vic's a good guy. He probably would have done it.
I'm sure he would have. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get to Twitter. We got a couple of Twitter questions here.
Right.
Chard Knight, we already kind of covered this, but give it a whack again. Do Americans just not like One Piece, or do American One Piece fans not buy the product and simply read the scanlation? I think he's sort of predicating this in the fact that I guess the notion is that One Piece is something of a failure in the U.S., but it's just not a huge success, not a failure.
It's definitely somewhat of a success. The manga volumes have been making the New York Times top 10 list every time they come out, maybe for a couple weeks sometimes, so... When people buy the manga, it's just never going to be that mega hit like people expected it to be.
I hope you're wrong. I hope it is one day that mega hit. I still have that little bit of hope there.
I think I think it's like it's not Dragon Ball, so it's a failure, which is silly. That's
what people say. Yeah. I hope one day it does become that Dragon Ball, not just for our sake, but because I think it is a series that deserves it more than Dragon Ball, not to offend all Dragon Ball fans out there, which I probably did, but yeah, I'd say it has the potential, but it's expensive to collect the entire thing is also a big thing. Yeah. People are afraid of the art. I was just reading on some random site, a bunch of people responding to One Piece getting that amount of volumes, and they're like, oh, this art looks terrible. I would read it, but it looks, I don't understand that personally. I'm a fan of the art, but
yeah, it's unique. I think it's fantastic art. It's really unique. And it just, because it doesn't look like D. Gray Man or whatever, doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah.
Or whatever Moe show of the week,
right,
that you mentioned.
Doesn't look like Kodomo no Jikan, so F this.
Although Chopper is starting to look like something, but something more marketable is probably where I'm going with that. But yeah, it has the potential, but
well, it's a quality crowd pleasing show, and it has every reason to be a huge smash. It just isn't for some reason.
It's long. Hopefully I think that's a big problem. But people shouldn't get intimidated by that. It's a challenge.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, ABCB Tom. Alternately, why do you think that it's so popular in Japan? What resonates with the Japanese audiences so strongly?
I guess it's the core values of One Piece. I think sort of the values of, you know, freedom and friendship and sticking up for your friends. It's sort of the ultimate. It's not like it's a shonen cliche, but it's a good cliche. They have the virtuous main character and sort of stick up for your friends and fight for what you believe in.
Plus, when there are shonen cliches, they're done well, because there need to be some. I think it's like a qualification to be in Weekly Shonen Jump is to have a couple of those. But I think, from what I've been told about the Japanese audience and how it relates to One Piece and why it relates to One Piece like it does. Why they really, that sentence didn't make sense, but whatever. I think it's because of the core values, and that's what I've heard.
Yeah, it's an easy to relate to message about, you know, the bonds of family and friendship and stuff. That's that's all quality stuff. Makes you feel good at the end of the day.
Yeah.
All right. GW Otaku asks, what are your thoughts on jmanga.com and what it might mean for the podcast and One Piece fandom?
Wow. Well, I'd like to be able to read the chapters the same week that they come out in Japan. I'd like to have that opportunity, but I'm not sure what jmanga's position is on doing stuff in America, so I don't really know.
And we've said several times on our podcast that we would completely pay weekly to read the chapters, in a second. And if jmanga becomes that, I mean, I'm not sure.
I believe that is their plan, is when it comes out in Japan, you get it same day sometimes, and you pay whatever the publisher wants you to pay for it.
Then I'll be doing that.
Yeah, it's different for every publisher. The prices are determined by publisher. So, Shueisha decides what you're going to pay for, whatever. It's not just one price, not like Crunchyroll.
Well, let's hope it's not like $50 per chapter, though. With the DVD prices, who knows? But
yeah, I think they'd be. I mean, the chapters are about the length of what, like a standard comic book.
There are 20-ish pages, usually a little less.
Okay, so what, like $2, $3? You know, I could see paying that. Maybe
it's my that's my Netflix subscription right there.
Yeah. you know, alternately, they're asking about vizmanga.com. Is that how do you guys feel about that? Do you actually read any of the stuff on? I mean, I assume you are reading a lot of it online.
Yeah. I'm one of those pretentious people. Well, I was given an iPad, but I use it. And it is really cool, I think, to read manga on there via Viz's app. I haven't bought it on vizmanga.com yet, though. I bought it on their app there. But they're not going to have the latest chapters on there, though, I think. I think they're just doing it. They're just catching up volumes by this point. I think they're up to like 34 out of the 63 just got released. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't already own every volume,
yeah,
I would consider, but I also don't have an e-reader, so I haven't thought about it.
Yeah, I haven't given in to the digital thing yet. I still get books.
Yep.
I still prefer books. I'm just not there yet.
It does look very good on an e-reader, but the iPad specifically, I don't know about any of the others, but I'm a big book proponent, and I personally am very sad that things like Borders are going, and yeah.
All right. Lacuna Craft asks, what do you think the One Piece is going to be at the end? He votes a mirror to show the power of friendship.
Oh God. I'll do my, do you want to do a fake answer or a serious answer?
you decide.
No, you go first.
One Piece is a sled.
Yeah, that's our fake answer because okay. One of someone recommended that that's what it was once, and I still like it. In all seriousness, it is not a mirror that shows friendship or any corny thing like that. The creator said it would not be anything corny like that. So, as far as we know, it won't be, as long as he's telling the truth.
I'm holding out hope that it's going to be a 12-pack of PBR. That's what I'm hoping.
You could do better than that.
One Piece is a bathing suit.
All right.
Seriously.
The guy asks...
Yes.
Let me see if I can get through this here. something I
read through it.
Something I frequently encounter even today are people who wholeheartedly feel the end of Evangelion was quote-unquote revenge on fans because several major characters died. I thought it
Let
was...
him know that we are not Evangelion podcasters.
Well, eventually this turns into a One Piece question, so just right. Hear me out here.
Although Ed is a fan.
It's always got to start with Evangelion with V-Guy, you know that.
Yeah.
Okay, he thought that was a fitting end, but he's amazed that people not only actively disliked that the characters died, but insist that it couldn't be true or didn't happen. Without giving away too many spoilers, One Piece is a very long-running and popular series, and its later story arcs, major characters actually die. I've personally seen backlash to that. What do you think causes such extreme fan backlash to major character deaths?
He fit that all in 140 characters?
No, this is over about 17 tweets or so.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if I've seen the same backlash against the deaths that he has seen. I think that's one of the major points about One Piece is that people don't die. The main character doesn't kill people. But it's when people die, as hardly anyone did up until major events that just happened. I don't know. I don't feel like I heard backlash against it. I think people, by and large, enjoyed it. Even if they were sad.
Personally, I loved it for the sake that we called the episode where the first death happened 12 years later. Because even in the most ridiculous situations, you haven't seen Alabasta yet, though, Zach, right?
Nope.
There's basically someone suicide bombs something, and I mean, in all in basic terms, and he survives it. And it makes no sense. And it, that pissed off a lot of fans. Contrary to that, though, it's you don't go to HFIL when you die in One Piece. You die, which is how real life works. And I like that personally.
Yeah, I think just in general, when you have a long-running show or a popular show and you kill characters off people like that, I think it's just sort of generic fan, like, hey, why'd you do that? I missed that character or whatever. But I think increasingly people want to see stuff like that. Like, they want serious stakes in their stories. Song of Ice and Fire is a big point to that because people love that series and favorite characters get killed off all the damn time. So, I think people might be kind of coming around on that in general. Okay.
Speaking of Evangelion and One Piece, our friend, the guy in Japan, Greg, found out that it actually One Piece premiered in the in Shonen Jump on the same day end of Evangelion premiered.
Oh, really?
Yes. So there you go. There's your connection.
Fun fact. Thanks for that. all right. Any plans to get back to the logbook? You only have 3 episodes up currently. Also, hello to the Del Flamingo from AX. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, we weren't at AX, but our West Coast people probably know what that's implying. But the logbook is a series we've been doing to catch people up with One Piece because, I mean, one of the big problems with our podcast is that in order to listen, you have to have be a super fan, as you put it, which apparently involves watching the whole series. But the logbook, we're going by volume and talking about the accompanying anime afterward. So we will actually be... I've been putting it off because it is a ton of editing work on top of everything, but I hope to actually have 1 or 2 episodes done this weekend, so hopefully.
Okay. He also asks, Sewing Rose 11, by the way, asks, do you think One Piece treats its female characters differently from other shonen shows like Naruto, a.k.a. they actually do things?
Ed?
Well, I mean, Oda does write quite a few strong women. I don't think any of them are just there for TNA purposes or just be the ditzy.
Sometimes they are.
not the main characters. Those are only side characters.
Yeah.
I think he writes for women pretty well. He doesn't do it enough, but he does write them pretty well.
The big complaint has been him drawing women, and he's gotten really good at that recently, like very recently, and in the most recent arc, we've had some really cool looking women that don't look like a stereotypical woman. But I think two of my favorite characters in part, I mean, Nami and Robin as main characters have the best backstories. I think I could say that, maybe Chopper as well, but just these really heartbreaking backstories. And yeah, they definitely are front and center. And Robin is someone who might be front and center to the whole series. So definitely. Yeah. It is not DBZ, or and it is not Naruto, and it's not Bleach when it comes
women,
to...
Women frequently fight on equal par with men, although not enough, as I said. But he doesn't shy away from having women in the fight.
Nope. Sometimes very muscly women.
And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, not being super familiar with where it goes later on, but definitely what I saw... Yeah, he is at least writing legitimately strong female characters that don't feel like they're just sort of like, oh, look, this girl has a gun, so that makes her a badass.
They're written, just like supporting their man or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, well, they're written like strong female characters, and that's good. That's unique, I think.
Well, Zach, you said you read or you watched Arlong, right?
Yeah.
And that's all about Nami, and she doesn't cry until that very end there, so you don't even have any. She's an incredibly strong character, and after that she's incredibly strong, sometimes a little bit loud and in your face, but yeah.
No, it's a great character. It's very well written, and a lot of women I know point to her as one of the best written female characters in manga and anime, in shonen manga and anime, for a place that traditionally you don't find really well-written female characters. It's sort of an anomaly. So yeah, you could legitimately say that he's better at it than a lot of other people are. Okay, and that about wraps it up. Anything you want to plug?
I feel like this... No, I mean, you've talked about the podcast enough. As you said, we're doing the Toriko podcast. We also have a Full Metal Alchemist podcast that comes out monthly. And yeah, our website's onepiecepodcast.com. That's really it, though.
Awesome. Well, it was a lot of fun talking to you guys. Thanks a lot for coming on.
It was an honor to be on. It was great.
It was a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot. Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Zach and Ed for coming by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review or rating. We really appreciate it. And hey, see y'all next week.